to take a look at Ephesians today. That's what we're going to be talking about. Because here we have the heart of Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he's reaching out, he's crying out to the Christians that are living in Ephesus and in the surrounding areas, because these letters, and that's all these were just letters that he would send out, they would be circulated among the churches, not only within Ephesus, but in the surrounding suburbs of the town. Remember, back then, they didn't have church buildings to meet in. Most of your homes had some kind of a courtyard, and it might be a very small courtyard, just big enough for the wife of the of the household to put her laundry out on to dry. If somebody had money, it might be a courtyard maybe this size. And in India, with a courtyard this size, I can probably put 50 or 60 Indians there. All right, they'll just all sit down cross-legged, right up next to each other. And we don't do church like that in the United States, but in Eastern countries, they'll get in there. And so, you know, somebody might have a larger courtyard, and so the people would come in that courtyard. Now, that family who owned that property, they would be the host of that church meeting, but it would be, as we studied last week, the Ephesians 4:11 ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, that would come along, and they would rotate from one household to another, bringing the gospel. And when they received a letter from somebody like Paul, then they would take this letter, and as they would rotate through the different home churches, let's use that, home churches in the city of Ephesus, they would read this letter to the people. So that's how church was back then. You didn't have overhead in the church. Churches today have, you know, great big huge budgets because they have, you know, multi-million dollar buildings that they have to pay the mortgage on, and they have the church vans and all the different vehicles, and then you have to have the pastors on salary and the youth pastors and then their secretaries and all of that, and you didn't have any of that back in the first century church. The individual churches would take up offerings to support these ministers that were the called pastor, teachers, evangelists, whatever, of that area, and they would support them. That's why Paul said the workman is worthy of his hire. But that's how things work. And so this letter is sent by Paul knowing that it's going to be passed around not only to the little home churches within the city of Ephesus, but also out in the greater area in Galatia and things like that. And so Paul is trying to tell the people, because the church has matured a little bit. Ephesians was written a little bit later. The church has been established for probably 20, 25 years by this time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And so people have been Christians for a while now. And so the newness of being a Christian is kind of faded just a little bit, and for a lot of folks, it's kind of like just the business, the everyday business of being a Christian, just what we do. And so Paul is telling them, hey, we're slipping back just a little bit. Let's remember how we need to speak with each other. And the other thing is putting away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, because we are members one of another. You know, there's one thing that we should be towards each other is honest. Okay? And that is so difficult in this day and age, because we are easily offended. All right? We have our rights. We're American citizens, and we have our unalienable rights guaranteed to us by the Constitution, and we don't like it when people step on our toes. And so today, if somebody gets offended today, well, they'll just pick up and go to another church. You know, 50 years ago, you didn't get to pick up and go to a different church. If you left a church and went to a different church, you'd better have a letter from the pastor of that church who would say, so-and-so they've been good members here, their family has been faithful here, and they're not leaving because of any problems in the church. We love them, and we're praying God's blessings on them wherever they go. And they better be able to present that letter to the pastor of the next church that they go to, because the only way you get into that church is either you get born again into that church, or you don't get into that church. Because people were serious about church membership. All right? And if you get offended in church, well, then maybe there's just something you need to be dealing with. All right? If the pastor stepped on your toes, maybe your toes needed stepping on. All right? And so you just couldn't pick up and leave. So Paul is saying here, we speak truth to each other. Let's be honest with each other. All right? And then be angry but sin not. You know, anger is a natural, even a God-given emotion. You go ahead and hit your thumb with the hammer, and I get angry with myself when I do stupid things. All right? When I see an injustice done, I get angry. When I see somebody being picked on, anger is a natural response. But Paul warns us, be angry but sin not. If you let that anger turn into bitterness, then it's going to infect your very soul. Okay, so be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. How do you make room for the devil? Just keep your mad going. Okay, I've got a good mad going here. And man, I've got it revved up. I'm in high gear mad. And I'm just going to let the world know how mad I am. Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you do, who's got you? That's right, the devil's got you. Amen? All right? And then, I like this. This is so funny. You got to know that there were some real rascals that come to know Jesus in these early years, all right? Thieves must give up stealing. Well, since he said it, I've got to ask, you know, were there thieves in the church that kept on thieving? You know, I mean, if Paul's got to address it, now if you've been making your life by being a thief, you need to find another job. All right? I guess there were just some people, you know, they passed the offering basket, and I got this watch I got earlier in the week. I'll put that in the offering basket. All right? Don't ask me where that came from. All right? So thieves, you must give up stealing. I don't know. You just let your imagination run wild with that, all right? Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. And there's something that is revealed there. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. God does not bless us so that we can sit back and say, oh, we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. Now, you're blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. That's what our food ministry was all about. Alright? We were getting more food than we knew what to do with, so what were we doing? We were giving it away. We were driving miles and miles to give it away to rehab centers and whatever. Whatever God put in our hands, we were giving it away. God blesses us so that we can be a faithful channel of blessing to others. But as soon as we decide, oh, that's pretty nice, I think I'll just put that right there in my pocket, then you proved yourself an unfaithful vessel. God can't fill you with something good because he can't trust you to pass it on. Amen? And so maybe we've cut ourselves out of the channel of blessing because we've decided we need it more than somebody else does. I started one of the companies that I had simply because I was given a great big contract. And I sat back and I said, you know, I can work this contract and I can make a bunch of money. I'll be burning the candle at both ends. You know what happens if you burn the candle at both ends? Twice the light lasts half the lifetime. Okay? So you got to be careful about burning that candle at both ends. But then I said, oh, I can bless others with it. And so I hired three other individuals, three other families, and trained those guys and licensed those guys, and I let them do the work. So what happened? God gave me this, and I turned around and blessed three other families with it, as well as keeping a little bit out for me. All right? God, we are blessed to be a blessing. That's important. Remember that. All right? Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Ooh. I am not going there. But only what is useful for building up as there is need. All right? And so basically, Paul is saying, just enough, whatever is necessary, whatever the need is. Don't go into details. Don't go into bringing other people into this. All right? If somebody's dealing with a problem and God has blessed you with an experience in this problem, then share that. But that's it. We don't need to be saying somebody comes up to Mama Joe and Mama Joe says, they tell Mama Joe, well, you know, I've got a problem. My daughter has a wandering husband. And Mama Joe says, well, let me tell you, so-and-so in the church has the same problem. And let me tell you, you know, we give away, what was it, TMI? Too much information? Okay, that's what he's saying here. Only as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those. We are supposed to give grace, God's grace to those. Help them to grow in grace and in peace. All right? Now, here's something else. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? You grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And so, if the Holy Spirit moves on your heart and says, here is somebody that just walked through the door of the church, never been here before, why don't you go up there and introduce yourself and just, you know, show them to a nice place, get them a bulletin, whatever. And you say, nah, that's Jeanette's job. I'm gonna let Jeanette do that. All right. Well, you do that often enough, and the Holy Spirit will stop tapping you on the shoulder. Because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why this is one thing we're learning in this church. We're learning how to practically be moved by the Holy Spirit. How to live in the Holy Spirit in a practical, everyday manner. But here's one of the keys right there. You go ahead and say no to the Holy Spirit often enough, and you'll say, well, then I'll find somebody who will. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. See, we forget that our God, what makes our God different from these other idols out there, is our God has emotions. It talks about Jehovah weeping. Jesus wept. You can talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. Our activities can hurt the feelings of God. I'm not so sure that's a wise thing to do. All right? But he also says, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. And this is for us, we need to remember, every one of us who have come to that place in our lives, we've confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And so each one of us, the Bible says, when that happens, God seals us. God puts a seal on us. All right, now what kind of a seal? Like a mason jar seal? No, not that kind of a seal. What did the kings and the nobles and all that used to seal a letter with? You put some wax on it, and then you put your stamp on it. And it's sealed. It's sealed by the king. When Jesus was in the tomb, they sealed the tomb. What do you think that meant? That they got the caulking gun out and put caulk all the way around the door so they could seal up the door? No, it meant they put a wax seal on that door, and the officer of the guard put his signet in that, and that stone was sealed. And if you open that door, you're going to break the seal. And the Bible says that when we came into God's family, He put His seal on us. That seal is a symbol to anybody that comes along. Hands off, this person belongs to Jesus. Amen? And so what is that seal? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you. We may not be able to see the Holy Spirit in you, but the devil can see the Holy Spirit in you. The demons can see the Holy Spirit in you. All right? Us, we're just tripping happily through life, totally unaware of everything that's going on around us in the spiritual realm. But when the devil looks at you, he sees the Holy Ghost saying, "Now, this one is mine." Amen? And we are marked with a seal, what? For the day of redemption. Don't go around worrying about losing your salvation. You cannot accidentally lose your salvation. Only way, because God says, nobody will pluck them out of my hand. You can jump out if you want. But you've got to be insane to do so. Amen? And I would even, you know, argue that if somebody who said they were a Christian, but then did something that was totally unchristian, said, "Well, I don't want to be a Christian anymore," I would argue that person has got an imbalance somewhere. And I would even go to the point where I'd argue, God hears what they're saying, and He's just got a smile on His face, saying, "Yeah, you go ahead and keep saying that. You're still my child." Amen? Come on, parents. How many of you ever had your kids say, "I don't love you anymore"? All right, anybody? Yeah, I want to run away from home. I don't even want to live with you anymore. And what did you say? Did you go running to your husband? "Oh, he's not our child anymore"? No. I still remember when my dad built the utility room on the first house that we lived in when we moved to Michigan. But it had a cement floor in the utility room. And my little brother, bless his heart, when he'd have a temper tantrum, he'd run into that room that had a concrete floor, and he would kick his hands and his feet and bang his head on the floor. You know? And I would just do there. I would just tell Mama, "I'm just going to hold my breath till I die." You know? And remember, my mama was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. She would just say, "Go on ahead." All right? Because the worst my brother's going to do is knock himself unconscious. The worst that I'm going to do is hold my breath till I fall unconscious, and then what's going to happen? He's going to stop banging his head on the floor, and I'm going to stop holding my breath. All right? Yeah, our little temper tantrums did not move our parents. Okay? Didn't break their heart. "Oh, he doesn't love us anymore." No, those are just kids, and kids are going through kids' things. And I believe that if there is a point in our life, and I know people that have lost loved ones and gotten mad at God, and said, "That's it, I don't want to be a Christian anymore," I have to believe that God is saying, "Yeah, we'll work on that." Amen? Because He's the perfect Father. He's not like David, who turns his back on the hard things. He steps in and takes care of the hard things. So we're marked with a seal for the day of redemption. All right? Put away from you all bitterness, wrath. I mean, there's a whole lot, litany of things. Bitterness, what is bitterness? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Okay? Wrath, you know, just angry people. Mainly because they're bitter. You know, that's how that works out. All right? They're just angry all the time. "Hey, how are you doing? What business is it of yours?" All right? There are people like that in these hallways. Okay? And anger. Wrangling. You ever know somebody that just likes to argue all the time? You know, "Well, good morning. Heck, it's raining outside, you fool. Can't you see?" They always have something negative to say. Wrangling. Slandering. "Ooh, we're not going there." Okay? Go ahead and top that off with all malice. They just have bad thoughts. Alright? Don't do any of this, but instead, be kind to one another. Kindness is a choice. Okay? Frustration is not choking somebody who so desperately needs to be choked. That's what frustration is, but that tells you you have the choice of not strangling that person, right? Kindness is the choice that you make, all right? Tenderhearted. I've got a problem with tenderheartedness because I'm just always so busy that I may not comprehend how deeply somebody is hurting. That's a problem that I have. That's why God gave me my wife. Because she's very quick to show me where I've missed the boat on that. Okay? But we all need somebody to tell us, oh, you really missed it with Sister So-and-so over there. She just lost her mother. Or whatever the case may be. Tenderheartedness. And if the church isn't there for each other, who is? Who's going to be? Forgiving one another. Yeah. But listen, as God in Christ has forgiven you, how much do we forgive? I don't know. How much do you want to be forgiven? I want everything to be forgiven, which means I'd better forgive everybody that I've got a problem with. Amen? Can't carry that around with you. It will eat you alive. You look at how there are people here that are young, relatively speaking, 60s, 70s, and they look old. I mean, you look at them, and why? Because they're carrying around this load of unforgiveness. They're carrying around this load of bitterness. It will eat you from the inside out. Amen? You've got to watch that. Then, to top it all off, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, which is a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So when we live our lives in service to others, we are imitating Jesus, who lived his life in service to us and gave his life for it. And God says, when we do that, it is a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. God receives, I don't want to say joy. He receives a sweet satisfaction when his children live this way. Amen. In the old temple, they had the altar of incense. And you always had that little fire going so that constantly the incense smoke was going up and it would go over the top of the curtain that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where God was. And so as that incense went up and over, that represented the prayers of the people rising up to God, and they were a sweet incense to God. That's what our lives need to be. Amen? Amen. Think of that. We can be something that when God looks at us, he goes, that's nice. That's nice. Look at Mama Jo down there. That's nice. I like that. Amen? We are blessed to be a blessing. We are forgiven to forgive. Father God, thank you for this day.